Welcome to Radio Diary. We don't just exist, we live and we experience, and so we all have stories to tell. Brought to you by BBS Radio. Radio Diary brings you recovery diaries of individuals who were strong enough to choose a path to recovery. Human beings who didn't let their struggles define them and get the better of them and save themselves and their loved ones in the process. This is the recovery diary of Pema Wandra. Stay tuned.
Thank you, madam, for giving us this opportunity. So my name is Pema Wandra. So I'm 30 years old. Currently, I'm serving in Chutin Pende Association, the civil society organization, one of the civil society organizations in our country who looks after drug and alcohol-related treatment, prevention, and social integration programs and activities.
All right. That's a very noble job that you do. So what is your story like? Everybody has stories to tell. So can you briefly tell us how you reached where you are right now? Can you begin from when you were a young kid till now? Like, give us a timeline if you could.
I can't remember everything also, but as far as I know myself now, because after I have lost myself for the past like 30 years and more into drug and alcohol problems, I came to know myself lately. So basically I come from middle earning family. So I've been brought up by my father and my stepmother since from my childhood. Unluckily, my mother passed away when I was maybe like 2 to 3 years old. So we were like three of us in the sibling. So later, my father, since he was working in one of the government office, so he couldn't look after us, three of us. So he has brought in my mother's own sister, younger sister. So in Tonga we call Amchum. Okay, so why I'm speaking is like I want to share my experiences that when we see a stepmom or Amchum, it's a little bit bitter. Can't, as a kid, we can't take in, but I don't know in every family whether it's happening or not. So I did a mistake there. So I couldn't take in my stepmother as my mother, and I couldn't take in whatever care she has been giving to me, the love she has had for me. So at that time when I was a child, I couldn't understand properly. So there were lots of troubles between my stepmom and myself, and obviously created only chaos in our family at home. So nothing was like very peaceful at home for me back then when I was a kid. So, yeah, fortunately, or I'm much grateful to my father, who's still alive today. He's a retired civil servant now. He didn't give up on me as a son to him. And he has been supporting me even today also. Not only to me, but today I'm also a father of one kid. Mm-hmm. So he's even looking after my son.
What about your stepmother? How is your relationship with her right now?
After I have lost everything in my addiction, like I lost my job, I got divorced with my wife. Then I was too into like even more into like addiction, and my life was like very bitter. So I couldn't help myself. So after that, when I lost everything, so my grandmother, we called Annie in Paro, that my father's eldest sister, she insisted and even supported me in my first rehabilitation treatment back then in Siliguri, India. So I went there for 4 months of treatment in Siliguri. I knew my stepmother was very ill. She had been doing several surgery. And when I was going for the first time for the treatment, we had a talk, short talk. Let's say around 20 to 30 minutes. That moment, something clicked in me. Like that time I was like around 31, 32. That time I realized, what I had been thinking about this person, like my stepmother, was totally wrong.
So that's when your perception that you realized that it was very wrong, right?
Yeah. I was dragged by my alcohol and the drug stuff. And my stepmother that time, she told, I don't know whether I'll be here when you finish treatment. But she said that all the best, that you take this treatment very seriously. Mm-hmm. Get yourself treated. Come back. Help your father, your son, help yourself. No, that's it only. She was saying, I'm very sorry that if I've been treating you badly for so many years like this. But she's very happy that I have accepted to go to treatment. And now you're turning a new leaf in your life. And she's much glad. But she was saying that I'm taking this opportunity, you know, so that I'm not sure that whether we can not talk when you come back. I said that that time something clicked in me, but nothing came out of me to say, you know, what to say, what not. I said that, okay, you do take care of yourself. No, you'll get better. I will come back, we'll talk. No, I went there. Mm-hmm. I completed my 4 months. So in the treatment, I came to know who I had been as a person. I'm not saying I'm very bad. I wasn't a bad person. Mm-hmm. I was totally sick, no? I was a sick person, like any person, a sick person will go through. Like other diseases, my disease was a different thing, no? On the surface, it looks very perfect, no? Mm-hmm. People don't see me some like very wicked or odd thing like that. But inside, I was full of wounds, pain, no? Everything, sorrows, everything going inside me. And likewise, my life has been like very, you know, thorny journey. So back there in treatment, I had a program, you know. I had a program there, like a 12-step program. This 12-step program has laid a foundation in my recovery today also. So I'm still following that program. Without which, I think that a pathetic drunkard and an addict, you know, would be alive today.
You said that you got addicted because one of the reasons was because you've had a stepmother.
I don't say that it's the only reason.
Okay, what were the other reasons? What feelings, what emotions were going through that made you turn to alcohol and drugs?
Back then, I was very I was good in studies as a kid. My academics were very good, but socially, I'm not that good person also. So I think that right now, no, when I come to understand my childhood, I'd been through psychological pains, since I lost my, I didn't see my mother, I didn't receive my mother's care properly, Nula. And during our times, it was very a peak of all the drugs, alcohol, Nula. And there wasn't that proper, guidance, care also. So it was very available and any child can pick up anything, do anything also. So I was brought up during that time. And I say that there are several reasons, but I don't have a perfect reason. But inside me, there was a child who was sick.
Who was lonely?
Yeah, lonely, basically, felt lonely.
Okay, I forgot to ask, how long has it been since you chose your path to recovery? How long have you been sober?
Yeah, now after four times of treatment. Mm-hmm. So after four treatment, this will be my longest sobriety. Mm-hmm. So today, this is my fourth year.
Fourth year.
After four treatment.
Okay, 4 years. That's a long time.
Four
congratulations.
Four years now. So I'm a multiple relapse. I tried. I learned. I did myself also. I received a lot of support and from everybody. First, I went to India. Then another three treatments. I did with the Children Friendly Association. So today, Children Friendly Association and the executive director himself has supported me, especially in my life. I owe a lot of things to the director and the association.
Okay, so despite multiple relapses, you chose to stand up and try it again, and here you are. You are successful right now, I would like to say.
Yeah.
And I hope that there are more years of recovery. All right. And, as a counselor and as an individual, do you think that parenting plays a big factor in, a child becoming an addict or, choosing drugs and alcohol? or are there any other reasons that you would like to mention?
No parents, I suppose, no, in this world would wish or would like to their kids to get into addiction, to be addict or alcoholic. Every parents love their kids, but thing is that as a social animal, sometimes when we give too much, also we miss too much. So I think that parenting has to be a key, you know, key factor in bringing up a child.
That's well said. Now you are a parent as well. So would you say that you know better?
No, I'm still learning parenting. I'm still a kid, though my age number has gone up. I'm still a kid, because I have a father. But when I look at my son, I see my his father's responsibilities. But I don't say that I know all the responsibility of a father.
You're still learning in the process.
I still have the guilt and the shame when I see my son. I'm still trying, but...
You said guilt and shame about what? About your past?
No, because... So today I'm still helpless. No, I can't keep my son with me because I can't save myself. No, I can't take care of myself. How can I take care of my son also? So I have that little bit of reservation. I want to say that, some shame going through, but I'm planning. So one day everything will turn out well.
Hopefully.
Yes.
Okay, and every addict has that one moment when they realize that they need to do something about their addiction and then start a journey of recovery. So when was that moment for you, and how did it come down? When was that epiphany?
As I said before, that from the time when I first went to my rehabilitation treatment at India.
How did you decide to go to India in the first place? Was it something your parents forced upon you?
They didn't force also, but they were insisting, advising me that no, they can't see me going through all this troubles and everything, and they thought that I'm going to die. If I don't die of drinking, I will die from other social factors. No, I might get involved into accident or a fight. No, or if I'll die out of drugs and alcohol, also overdose. They saw me how I'm going through at that moment. So I too also felt that pain, and that time I wasn't totally ready to go into treatment also, but I thought for myself that why not I give a try. With that intention, I went there. I put my effort also, they supported me also. Yeah, it worked well also. I stayed for a year sober, but later I relapsed.
On that very long journey, what obstacles did you face? How are you, and how did you overcome it?
Now I realize that in my life, my biggest obstacle is myself.
So no blaming other people?
No. It's myself only. I'm limiting myself. So that's why it's my responsibility to push myself, to motivate myself, pick up, face it. If it works, it's okay. If it doesn't work, why to carry it? Just drop it. Life is much easier now.
Okay, and how do you cope with it? How do you motivate yourself? Is there any routine that you follow now?
I keep some my own set of practices which I picked up from and which was taught to me during my treatment, during treatment times, and even after treatment, after becoming a counselor also, I receive few skills. So I try to maintain these skills, and these skills, the knowledges, the practices, and especially the place where I work, it gives me all this energy, or what to say, it reminds me timely that to get into track, I should be doing what I'm supposed to do. And if I stop doing what I'm supposed to do, and what I don't like will soon catch me, I have that fear only. So that's why I make sure that the practices, the daily practices, has to be kept on.
So consistency is key.
Consistency,
right? All right. Do you have any regrets from when you were an addict in the way you treated your loved ones?
I have lots of regret. My life is full of regrets, but regretting doesn't solve anything also today.
Yes.
But I learned a lot from my regrets. So that's why whatever endeavors or whatever circumstances pops up today, I always reflect back to my regrets. To list down it is very, the list will be very long. But especially I regret, why did I hurt my parents? Why did I hurt myself? And why did I have to become like that. I had a choice in Mevola. I had a choice then. But no, I regret choosing the wrong way that time. I regret losing lots of opportunities, time, resources. But today, I'm still building up. Let's see how much I can accumulate, how far I can go. That's it, Lang.
Okay, as long as you realize it now, I think it's never too late.
Yes.
Okay, and as a counselor, this question is as a counselor. So is it important to, you know, have empathy as a counselor? And what is your approach while dealing with your clients? Do you have a very soft approach or do you have a hard approach?
As a counselor, one important, the personality or skills you should acquire is to have empathy. Sympathy doesn't work. So empathy, if you have this empathy, as a counselor, you can really help others. But today as a counselor, when I get this opportunity to help others similar to myself, it's like a golden opportunity for me. I don't say I have helped a lot of people, but you know, I have touched several lives similar to me. Today, when our ex-clients, when we see them doing well outside, you know, it is more of inspiration for us to work more in Mevola. Mm-hmm.
So it gives you more strength to continue your journey as well, right?
Yes, la.
I'm sure that still there are a lot of people who are struggling with different issues, especially addiction, because we all are human beings and we do have issues and sometimes we don't know how to deal with it. So if someone is struggling right now, how would you say they should seek help? What should they do and where should they go?
It's easy, la. There's a quote also, I forgot this. If you don't ask, the answer will be always no. So whoever be, if you think you have a problem, you drink, but if you think your drinking is causing problem to your health, your relationship, your job, everything, I think you should please talk with someone, a counselor or a hospital treatment who is available. In Bhutan now, compared to a long time back, now we have lots of facilities, services, so you should come up. Unless you come out and talk, I think when people find you, it will be very sad, Mula. You'll be in a worse condition, psychologically, physically. Then it will be too late, but at least there will be help. But don't wait for the last moment. Please come up, talk. Doesn't matter.
Like you said, compared to the past, the present world is much easier, especially when it comes to seeking help.
Yeah.
And stigma is much lesser, would you say that?
No, it depends now. As a personal opinion, if we keep on if we fear out with this stigma, discrimination, stuff like this, these things will never go down. Now, this will still be there. But thing is that if you are the affected person, individual, you should know no matter what the stigma or discrimination you face, when you are in pain, I think you should get help. That's it. No. Regardless of any stigma or discrimination, don't bother. You come out, get yourself helped, Then you challenge this stigma and discrimination when you get well.
And this is a very personal question to you.
Okay.
How is your life right now? And who all are in your family? And would you say that you're happy right now?
I don't say happy. That doesn't mean that I'm not having a good life or something like that.
But you have a purpose right now.
Yeah, today I have a purpose. That's one important thing in my life. I don't have that much ambition also. Yes. I already had everything I learned, I got, I received, so still I'm carrying on. So basically, as a counselor today, I have lots of responsibilities. Today when I see myself up there doing service to all the affected individuals, their family. My father now can rest properly and sleep properly, do his things peacefully. So this is my payback. I don't have money to pay to my father. Yes, I know he spent thousands and thousands of money. He wasted lots of time to make his son a right person, or what to say, a good person. But today, when I don't use, when I'm doing a noble job there, my father is much happier. When my father is happy, I don't want anything. That's it.
I guess more than money, that's how you pay back your parents. Yes. That's wonderful. And what does your tomorrow look like to you, lastly?
I'll grow old. No? My hair will turn gray. Mm-hmm. My beard will get gray. Teeth will fall.
You'll get much more wiser. You're already wise, but you'll get wiser.
No, I don't say wiser. Mm-hmm. I think that I'll talk more nonsense in my near future. Why? Because I think that by then I really have lived the rest of my life. No? At least after all this 10 to 15 years into addiction, at least in my life. Still today also, when I wake up, I don't have hangover, withdrawals. I don't have regret, shame also. I only have a purpose. I have a responsibilities to fulfill. No, that's it. So when I go back, when I sleep, I just check in. That's it. Then tomorrow I plan. So I don't need a drug and alcohol today. And I'm not afraid of stigma and discrimination also. Yeah, people are right. They say you are a drug addict, you're alcoholic, you're like a bad person. Yes, they are right. I accept. But that is my past. So what they can't see is my present, and what they don't know is where am I going? I always make sure I know the future. Is what you do today in Bewala.
Mm.
So I make sure I do properly.
That's very beautifully said, sir.
Okay.
So thank you for coming here on Radio Diary Recovery Diaries and sharing your story and your words of wisdom. Thank you very much. I hope that some of the listeners who are struggling will get help listening to your story.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity once again.
Well, that was Radio Diary, the recovery story of Pema Wangda. If you are struggling with addiction, this is a reminder that you are not alone. Seek help. Call 1257. I repeat, 1257 for Najan Lamdin. I will be back next time with more stories, more individuals. Take care and goodbye for now.